Good.
Okay. Wow, that was quite the introduction. I've never had one quite like that before. That's Bo for you, though. Why? So they don't have to look at me?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, yeah. Let's see. He said a lot of the stuff that I was going to kind of introduce with. No, that's fine. That's great. That's cool that you remembered that that part of that, because you know, the vision that the Lord gave John there about at the end of the world when everything's finished and everybody that are believers are in heaven, seeing people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, that's been a major motivation to what we're doing. In fact, it probably is one of the greatest, other than God himself and doing this for him and for his glory. But that vision has been what's kind of helped push us forward to get this thing to go, be able to do this thing, because I mean, we're just normal people. You know, I think of when I was growing up in the Christian church there, I didn't get saved. I was 18. So when I would come in and I hear missionaries speak, it was always a little bit kind of bittersweet, because missionaries were kind of a little bit weird. You know, they just were, I don't know, not really fitting in. Now I get why they don't fit in, because they go away for so long and they come back and like, a smart what? So anyway, so I kind of always was a little bit just missionaries. You know, I didn't see myself as doing that kind of ministry. So I didn't worry about that, though. And so whenever a missionary would come, and when I was going to school, whenever a missionary would come and speak in chapel, we all just said, all right, well, pack your bags. We're going on a guilt trip. Because missionaries always just came up there with Matthew 28, 18, 20, and just told everybody we needed to go, go, go. And so we all kind of were a little bit, you know, not real sure about sitting there listening to missionaries speak. But, you know, they're still part of what God is doing. Well, as time went on, and as I studied the Word of God, the pull that God was tugging at my heart was, I just couldn't deny it. I could not deny the wanting to go where what Paul was saying in Romans, where there was no previous foundation. Then seeing the vision there in Revelation about that there's going to be people from every tribe and tongue, and God wants me to be a part of that. He wants me to have some role in that end vision, because as we all know, God has limited his precious word, his precious gospel, to our mouths. So we have to communicate that. The people that are sitting there in the tribes that do not have a gospel witness, they're not hearing it unless people do speak it to them. So this was a huge motivating factor to me. All that going on, that's when I met Esther. Esther had that growing up. She had that same desire, same passion, but was willing to do whatever God wanted her to do. And I'm glad she was, because she met me then and was okay with me. So we together then started to realize that God was giving us this vision together as a couple, which was really exciting and fun. As time went on, we both graduated college. She went on to teach in second grade elementary at a public school for a few years, and then I went to seminary and got a degree there. And then through all that time as well, we're working on what ministry are we going to do as far as what mission. And I say all that to say that, you know, a lot of times what we think of as missionaries are these people that are, you know, just super spiritual giants, and man, that's something I could never do. Please don't put me there, because I'm just a normal guy who just said, Lord, I'm yours. Do with me whatever you want. And if this is what you want me to do, I cannot see myself doing this. How am I going to learn another language? How am I going to plant a church in a tribal context? What? It's hard enough in my own context. How am I going to do this? And it's all I did was, all we did together as a couple was say, Lord, use us. If this is what you want us to do, we will step out and try not to look at all the waves that are crashing in around us, and we'll step out on faith and do that. That's what we did. So God really does deserve all the glory here. All we were his vessels. So when I share all that I share today, please do not put us up on any kind of pedestal. All we did was just step out on faith. that vision that we saw, that you see in Revelation, is going to happen. The question is, are you and I going to be a part of it or not? And what I mean by that is, are we going to do what we can while we're here on earth to let God use us to make this vision that will be a reality, right? This is God's word. It will happen. There will be people from every tribe, every tongue in the world, which has over 6,000 languages, by the way. There's still over 2,000 that do not have Scripture in their language yet. So the job's not done. But we see there in the Scriptures there that it will happen. Do we believe it'll happen? Yeah, we believe it. Do you want to be a part of it? It reminds me of the story of Esther, you know, in Scripture where Mordecai says to Esther, happens to be my wife's name, but he says to Esther, hey, God will save his people. Now, he'll either use you or he'll use somebody else. What are you going to do? Has he put you here right now for this very purpose to do this? Mordecai, I think so. So it's the same thing. You are exactly where you are for a very specific purpose that God has for you. All we are his vessels. We're not wonderful, great, spiritual giants. I mean, maybe you are. But if you think that about yourself, then you're not. So we're just a normal family who happened to say, God, use us. And he took us to Papua New Guinea. Led us to Papua New Guinea. And we got the incredible privilege. It really has been an amazing privilege. I mean, I told Bo yesterday, I feel like we have lived the book of Acts. I mean, without some of the, you know, miracles and stuff, and we haven't done any of that stuff, but they have in a sense, because people's lives have been drastically, miraculously changed. Men that used to beat their wives are now teaching the Scripture and now saying about their wife, she's my sweet food. I mean, the change is complete 180 degree difference. And we've had the privilege of seeing that, of being a part of that, of being the ones like in the book of Acts that go and do that. I mean, it has been an incredible ride. And it's all just God doing it through us. That's it. So when that vision was kind of made real in our hearts, mine and Esther's hearts, we committed to doing this together. We went looking at different organizations about what would help get to that end. And there were several great organizations out there. New Tribes, however, had that same vision of going to these tribal locations where there isn't a gospel witness. And so that's their drive and their passion as well. So that worked great and perfect with us as well. They also did ministry in a way that we really, really appreciated. In a tribal context, since there is no foundation, of course, we're finding more and more that there is always a foundation, but more of a religious foundation. They have no understanding of the history of it all, okay? So to go in and just teach John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Oh, okay, well, for God. Well, who's God? Is he just one of the other spirits we worship, or who is he? So we've got to go all the way back to the beginning and work this story out for them, just like writing a book. I mean, who starts in the middle of a book? I know my wife sometimes reads the end of the book first because she wants to find out if it's worth reading the whole thing. But you don't do that. You start at the beginning. Well, that made sense to us, and that's how we taught the Dananga people as well, and that's how New Tribes does it everywhere. They go in, first learn their language and their culture. So that takes years. And that's what we did as far as after moving in. We moved in 2003. And I'm cutting out a lot because of time. But you can go ahead, yeah. Oh, well, it's not all up there. But, well, it's up there if you want to just... 2003, we moved in. And we started, we built houses. And our houses are, that's another thing where I'm totally felt inadequate in, you know. You're back there talking about building trusses or whatever that you do. No way. I can hardly swing a hammer, and I've got to build a house. But every step along the way, God provided either other people in the body of Christ to help out, or he just helped us. So we built houses, three houses, because we did go with two other families and their children as well. And after that time, then we started working on the language and culture. The houses always seems to be a big question, so let me just throw out there real quick. Our power is our houses are powered by hydropower. There's a mountain spring that comes down the mountain that we've accessed, and we have a large pipe that brings the water down to close to our houses, and it spins a couple turbines and gives us power for our houses, which is wonderful. And then we have water as well from that also, so that's how we get our power and water. Of course, here that's not as big of a deal because that's how Bo and Debbie live pretty much. Well, except for the power. I mean, same thing in the sense you turn it on and it works. That's how ours does now. We just didn't have a bill. Well, we did at the front end of it. We had to pay for all that stuff to get in there. Anyway, that's all. That's people are always interested in that and that kind of stuff, so that's that. So after building our houses and getting that set up, we tried to make them as close to theirs as possible in the sense of what it looked like on the outside. However, on the inside, we wanted it as close to what we're used to as possible because we wanted to be there the long haul. You know, that's another thing that people often ask. Man, did you live just like the tribal people? No. If we did, we would have been back in about 3 months. Because, I mean, we just can't live like that. We're not used to that. Maybe some can. Some missionaries, you know, Hudson Taylor, great, awesome, what he did, fantastic. But for us and our family, we needed a little bit more of the power and water in our house. And so anyway, so we made it it's a little nicer, tongue and groove flooring and, you know, plywood on the walls on the inside. On the outside, it looks like kind of one of their houses, except we do have the roofing tin on top because the grass roof doesn't, you know, it lasts maybe 5 years, 6 years. We've had to do that over and over. And then lots of bugs fall out of that. And we didn't want to be eating our food and bugs fall. I know that's what everybody thinks missionaries do, but we don't. So learned their language and their culture, and that was probably one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, because every time you step out, you know you want to go and learn their language, right? So you go and you sit with them, and you try to start repeating these things, and they're just laughing at you. So you gotta develop pretty thick skin. Or here's the other scenario: they see you coming, and they're like, I got to go to the garden. So it just kind of, it was a tough time. Then also just the constant feeling of inadequacy, never being able to communicate well until I got to that level. But for many, many years, just really, really challenging. Esther did not learn their mother tongue. She did learn the national language, so she still was able to communicate with some of the people that knew the national language. But her focus, we believed her focus was on our family. Excuse the pun there. But she stayed home and she did a full-time job of homeschooling and taking care of managing the home and ordering our supplies and all that kind of stuff. So she was incredibly busy with that. And then she also became the homeschool coordinator for our field there, well, the area of where we lived. So she was very, very busy doing all that. So had we not had two other coworkers who did learn, she might have needed to be able to communicate with the ladies. But the two other families, they had younger children who weren't in homeschooling yet, and so they had a little bit more time to be able to kind of take their kids out with them to the village, and they were able to learn language, the ladies were. But that's just a little piece of information, too, for a lot of the wives who sit there and think, how in the world can I do this? Well, what you're doing right here is not that much different, except whenever you open your window, there's just all these eyes. I mean, everything we did was just a big show to them. It got kind of old, but, you know, I don't blame them. I mean, there's just nothing to do there. And so here's these very different people doing very different things. And so anyway, so after we learned the language and culture and nearly threw in the towel a few times, the Lord helped us by sending in a couple literacy consultants. They came in. This was after we developed an alphabet for them. An alphabet, Bo was asking about that. We used English characters, and we did that because the official national language of Papua New Guinea is actually English. So we were, of course, nobody, well, people in town speak it, but nobody in the tribes even can produce hardly any English except, hi, how are you? That's it. And I start talking back to them. Anyway, so so we developed an alphabet for them, but now how do we teach them to read and write? How do you teach these people who, you know, Bo was joking about showing our kids a pencil and wanting me to post on Facebook he was teaching our kids how to read and write? Because that's what it's like. I mean, these, you know, having a pencil, it's like these, especially the older generation, you know, they didn't know what that thing was. Is this a digging stick? You know, a small, a little small shovel. So anyway, how do you teach them in a way that they can learn? So these literacy consultants, they came in and they helped us and worked every step of it out, helped us develop primers, and then we started teaching them how to read and write in their own language. And this was when things really started to take off, because now we're finally getting to the point, and you can see there up there on the top, 2007. You know, it's 4 years later after we moved in that we're finally starting they're seeing, okay, this is what all these white people have been talking about all these years. They've been talking about they have something important to teach us. So the ball started rolling and they got very excited. Literacy turned out to be kind of a John the Baptist, you know, because it kind of prepared the way for the teaching, the chronological teaching that was coming behind that. We wanted to do literacy first because we were going to develop these little summary sheets from each lesson, and we picked people from each hamlet, one person from each hamlet, and that would be able to then take those summary sheets after the lesson and go home in their hamlets and be able to read them to other people so they could do some review. Now, we also had cassettes and, you know, the windy things that you probably have all seen those on other presentations or whatever. But so they could review with that, but we wanted to promote the reading so that they could later then read their own scripture in their language. So we did that, and that was exciting. That was fantastic. Also, while we started that process, we were also starting the discipleship process at that time. Now, they weren't believers yet, but what we were doing was we were having them help us teach the literacy class, slowly developing them and teaching them to be the teachers. Because the next literacy class, we didn't teach it. We helped them. They taught it. The next literacy class, they taught it, and then we were their helpers. And in the next literacy class after that, we were done. It was completely in their hands. So, and this was part of the discipleship process, part of showing them we want to entrust you with something, and we know you, we think you can do it. So it was, literacy was a big deal for them. I mean, I know it's not for us here in America. Everybody reads and writes. But for them, it was huge. They just saw this as an amazing thing to be able to actually read my own language. Wow! I mean, it was just huge for them. So it really was an excellent John the Baptist in the sense of preparing the way. So then in 2008, we taught the creation of Christ story, that chronological method of teaching that I talked about. And that was probably one of the most amazing times of our lives because people just... lights going on all the time and people learning who God was and who God is. Excuse me. it happened in the past. That's why I said that. they very, very much used to think that Jesus was just one of the other spirits. And the reason they knew about Jesus was because others had come in, you know, like a pilot would fly in from another organization and they'd throw up a generator and a big sheet, a display, and they would show the Jesus film. And then they'd check it off their list. Now, I'm not criticizing. I guess I am a little bit. But they would check it off their list that they've evangelized that tribe. Wow. So much missing. Because really, this is what they thought. Jesus was just another one of those spirits. All of our dead people, they got up too. They go around in the village at night. That's why we all stay in our houses. That's why we put peanut shells on the road so that we can hear them when they walk, which makes me laugh because if they're spirits, would you really hear them walking on the trail? But you know what? Satan's not real logical, so when he tricks people and he lies to them, that's what they just believe it. Anyway, so my point is they really had no understanding. They had heard some of the story, parts of it, but really they didn't understand it. So us teaching chronologically like that, man, they just were like, wow, okay. So one of our language helpers that we were working with as we were, you know, you have to kind of go before the lessons. You're preparing the lessons, and so before you teach them. So I'm, you know, like a couple probably about 20 lessons before. So he, my language helper, was getting the story before. And we were doing the story about Jesus being, when he was proclaimed to Mary and Joseph, and that part about where God says that this is the one that's going to save his people from their sins. He was just like, okay, now I'm getting it. This is the one that God promised way back in Genesis 3, where he said he's going to send someone that's going to crush the head of the serpent. This must be the one, because the whole time he's looking. Hey, maybe it's Moses. I don't know. Moses, he hit that rock twice. He sinned. He can't be it. Maybe it's Abraham. Oh, no, definitely not Abraham. He had more than one wife. Because they had been taught that you having more than one wife is wrong. They didn't know why, but that's what they were taught. So anyway, so my point is, him coming through looking for this promised redeemer. Who is it? Maybe it's David. King David was pretty cool. Maybe it's because look at what he's doing. He's conquering all the land. Maybe it's David. No, it wasn't David. He died. It was done, finished. But then when Jesus was born and he was being proclaimed the way he's being proclaimed, my language helper, you could see his eyes just, he's the one. This is it. It's incredible. Anyway, so we taught that, and most of the village believed at that point. After the gospel was proclaimed, but they were believing all along the way. I mean, I say that they believed at that point, but really, I mean, right away at the teaching, they were listening to it and believing it just as a child would. And that's what Jesus talks about. That's what belief and faith is. So all along the way, believing every point about what God's word says. And it's so cool the way God has done everything in history. But the law, as you all, I'm sure, know, but the law was given to reveal our sin, right? Well, the day before we taught the law, this one guy who was kind of a big shot in the village, he's going around telling everybody, okay, it's coming. The part that we've been waiting for is coming. And they're going to tell us how we're supposed to live. And we better do it just right so that we too can go to God when we die. I'm going to follow it. Everything it says, I'm going to do it all, he says. Perfect. Because then you teach the law and he's sitting there afterwards going, I can't do that. Are you kidding me? So it was perfect. It just, the Lord in his graciousness and wisdom just has laid out the scriptures in such a way that it just reveals the heart of man and his desire and love for mankind, and it's incredible when you do it like that. Anyway, so the village there, this is the church, and I say the church, but because the church is the people, and the church there, the believers, you can see down here our other two families. The Markleys are over here on the left, and the Schlegels are over here on the right middle there areas. So then after that, we started then slowly starting to do what we did in literacy and started bringing them in just a little bit after about a year into helping with the ministry and showing that we're going to be turning this over to them. After that, we taught then through the book of Acts, and then on to other epistles, Romans specifically was the first one, because we wanted them to be grounded in what it means to be justified before God. And it's really important that we did that, because the Dodongit, because of the way they live, they really literally believe that they were, to the core, dirty people. So there's just, how can we be clean before God? They just had a real hard time believing that. So Romans was a great way to help teach them who they are in Christ, their position in Christ. Then we did Ephesians after that as well for the same purpose. And then continued through to 1 Corinthians, because 1 Corinthians is kind of a letter that Paul had written to the church of Corinth that had a lot of problems, that is very, very similar to the problems that the Dodongit church was having, some of their beliefs about not so much eating food sacrificed to idols, but definitely doing animistic practices. For example, one of their kids gets sick, okay, and they're praying to God that God will make his kid better. I mean, who doesn't pray that, right? Well, the kid wasn't getting better quick enough, and so what does he do? His mind goes back to what he used to do, and he goes and gets a witch doctor and says, hey, can you help my kid? Let's pray so that God will honor it. and we can do this stuff here too, because maybe God will use that. We so do that in our own culture, don't we? Oh, so many ways that we say, oh, maybe God will use this. No, God wants to do it, and God will do it. So anyway, they needed the understanding of, okay, can we eat this food sacrificed to idols? Well, no, can we do these practices as well as still try to be walking with God? No, these practices need to be gone, you know? You know what? They don't do anything anyway. That's what Paul said about the eating the food to idols, right? There's really not even any idols out there to begin with, but hey, you know, so if you want to eat, eat, but for your brother, don't, okay? Let's do the same thing here in the church in Dinungat. So that's what I mean. So the teaching went on that way. Then in 2010, another village, the name of it's Tamunat, this village wanted the teaching. The church where we were, this church here named Sakam, they went to other villages in their language group wanting to bring this good news to them because they knew, hey, man, this is great. This is truth that we are different people now. We want our family to hear this. So let's take it to them. Well, they went around, and Tamunat was the first one that said, yes, we want it. So this is where they went. They went to Tamunat, and that was an amazing time. We did the same thing that we did in literacy. We let them do the majority of, well, we did about half and half teaching. We taught with them. We started, but then slowly giving them more and more to where at the end we weren't doing any of for the creation to Christ part of it. Okay. Yeah, true. That's a good point. When we wrote the lessons, we wrote them word for word in their language so that they then could take them and use those lessons. So it took a lot longer. It was a harder process because I can get up and just do it from a couple points type thing. But how do they reproduce that? So we wrote the lessons word for word, every one of them, still do it to this day, so that they then have a material that they can use to teach from, even study from, that kind of thing. So that's how they were able to do that. So then that was that outreach there, and that church as well, doing excellent, doing really well. Of course, still has problems. I mean, they're human beings, and there's people that make wrong choices. And but anyway, 2013, just before we came back here, the Church of Tamunat and Sakam, so the two churches there, on their own completely. We did not do anything. They did an outreach to the third village there called Bunganin. They did it all by themselves. It was just so fun to sit there. Every Monday, we have a meeting with all the Bible teachers. And so we would sit there with them, and we tried. At first, we led the meetings, but then, okay, we start handing off a little bit more, a little bit each time, to where at the end, later, they're doing it totally on their own. We're there, but they're doing it, and we're offering advice and counsel, that kind of thing. Just so incredible to see their change, you know, and how God's given them wisdom, and they're responding, and they're wanting to stand on the Word of God only. Really, really exciting. So, so in those meetings, we're like, you know, we left it with them. We're not pushing. And it was hard because I wanted to push. These people need to hear. Let's go. What are you dragging your feet for? Come on, you know, this is a. Well, they knew what was going on. They knew the cultural ramifications and everything, and they did it just at the right time, waited. Because this village here, Bunganin, was actually anti the teaching. Let's just call it that, the chronological teaching. They didn't want it. The reason they didn't want it was because there's another organization that's in that area, very, very strong, and they come by and they teach that if you have communion, every time we come in and we give you communion, and if you have your babies baptized by our pastors and you give your tithes and offerings every Sunday, you will go to heaven. Okay? So this is what they were taught. So they added that to their animistic beliefs, and sure, no problem. Sunday mornings the church was full. Why is it? Because they believed that was part of what they were earning to get a position in heaven. So when the guys would come in, we would come in and teach this, and we said it's, you know, they were hearing that the people were saying it's not because of what we do, it's because of what Christ did. Now that we're believers, we want to get baptized and be identified with Him. We are already in God's sight, but we want to identify with Him and His death, burial, and resurrection before other believers. So let's do that now as believers. Huh, wow, great idea. That's what the Bible teaches too, by the way. So, you mean, so this one that I did back here when I was a baby, that one doesn't count? So we'd ask him, well, what do you think? Were you believing then? No way. I couldn't even talk, he said. So what do you think? Does it count? And, okay, let's also ask, what does that mean, does it count? Is this something that you did in order to have God say, okay, now you're mine? Well, yeah, that's why we did it. Okay, then no, that's not what it's about. Anyway, so that principle was huge for them. I mean, in fact, so big that after we taught and we're going through the book of Acts and people are getting baptized in the book of Acts, the Dinangit guys in Sachem come to us and say, you know what? I think we just need to hold off on baptism. We want to obey God in this, but this is just really a really difficult one. So we said, you know what? Okay, we'll hold off. We're not gonna push. Waited a little bit longer. When they went to go to do this outreach in Tamanat, Bible teachers came to us again and they said, I think we need to get baptized now. Oh, really? How come? Well, because we feel like hypocrites. We're going to go and do this teaching and we haven't obeyed what God has told us to do. The Holy Spirit working there. We didn't twist that or manipulate that. But what happened after that, it was right at that moment, actually, very, very soon after that, that's when all the villages around us that said that they want the teaching, the leaders in those villages who are a part of that other denomination, said, no, you will not come in here because we did baptism as it, when they were, after they were believers. We weren't doing baby baptism, we weren't giving offerings to their denomination, and we were proclaiming that it's by faith alone in Christ. So they were cutting ties. Bunganin, this village here, the third one, was one of those villages that said, no way, we do not want it, we will not welcome it, because of your heresy. So later, when they started seeing the difference in Tamanat's life especially, that was when they said, maybe there's something to this. Our lives are still pretty pathetic. So could we have the teaching too? The Bible teachers were right. If we had pushed forward, it would have been, who knows what would have happened, but I don't think it would have been the same outcome. So then in 2013, they were able to do the teaching there. And just before we came back over here in early June, the Bunganin village there did a baptism. I think there was like 14 or 15 men, women, and young men and women that got baptized. So that was exciting. That's a huge step for them to go from where they've come to that point now. So that's, again, all credit to God. Okay, next slide. Translation, we have about 38% of it, of the New Testament completed. And when I say completed, that means checked by a consultant. So somebody who's done this before, he comes in and sits with us and with some of the Dinangit believers and checks it with us. And then we also recently had printed, the man holding it there, some of the portions that, most of these portions that have been consultant checked, we had printed for them so they could have at least some of the Word of God in their language. Like most of the teaching part that we used from the Gospels, that's all in there, Romans, Ephesians. The teaching portions that we used from in the Old Testament, those are in there as well. So man, I put this quote here that just really, we probably heard this one more than any other one, just over and over and over, that they've read it before in the trade language, because some of them could read, and some of them would sit in there and they'd read it, but they just didn't understand it. But now reading it in their own language, they really, really, really understand it and are so thrilled that God talks to me, is what some of them would say. In fact, the first day we gave them their Bibles, one of the guys says, I saw him the next morning, and it was because of the Monday morning teaching, Bible teachers meeting. I said, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm tired. Oh, what happened? You didn't sleep good? I didn't go to sleep. Why not? Because I stayed up all night reading my Bible. Wow. Anyway, so that's how precious those things are to them, that we just take for granted. Okay, you can go to the next one. Teaching, I've already covered that, so we can just slip there. But that's the church there. We had a marriage seminar. I know it sounds like not a big deal, but in in the tribal context it really was, because marriage is probably one of the marriage principles in Scripture. You guys are going through 1 Peter right now, right? I understand, and you just got some good stuff last week. You know, even though we're teaching these things as well, it's always different coming from us. They receive it and they listen, but a lot of times they think, oh, well, it works for you because you're white. Literally, that's what they would say. But us black people, we don't have marriages like that. My wife does not respect me, and I really don't like her. In fact, she just passes me the food with her foot. So we finally realized, you know what, let's have a Papua New Guinea pastor from town that we know and trust come in and do a marriage seminar. And so he did. And you wouldn't believe the things they were telling us. Hey, we're not supposed to have two heads in the family. We're only supposed to have one. Yeah, that's right. You know, us who are parents, we know what this is like because we teach our kids all those years. They go to Sunday school and they come back. Hey, Dad, did you know that Jesus died for me? Yeah, I did, but hey, great. So anyway, that's what that was like, but it was wonderful. It was really, really good. And now we are seeing some fruit. We are seeing marriages change. One time I was sitting in my office. My office is outside, and I did that on purpose. Anyway, he's walking by, right? Oh, yeah, this guy here. Didn't see him in the red shirt. In fact, even holding his own kid 5 years ago, that wouldn't have happened. So here he is already breaking. And also, here's another huge one. Who's he sitting by there? His wife. That's another huge cultural shift. Before, I mean, now still, some of them haven't made that big of a jump. It's women on one side, men on the other. Even in meetings, wherever they go, that's just the way it is. So now he's made this huge culture. I mean, I know that seems trite, but it's big in their culture. So that's something we're excited about. So this guy, Jasper, he comes. He's walking up the trail. He's got a big, huge bag full of firewood, and he's carrying his kid on his shoulder, and it's pouring down rain. And I'm watching him in my nice, dry, cool office, and I'm thinking, oh, man, sorry. A little bit later, coming behind him is his wife with their other child, and she's not carrying hard. She just has a little bag full of food. And by the time she got to the house, there was smoke coming from the top. He had run ahead to get the house ready for his wife. Never would have happened before. In fact, before, what would have happened was he would have been way in the back carrying one thing, his knife, maybe his bow and arrow. And she would have been carrying everything else. That was how it worked in the culture. So to see that cultural shift like that just really shows that God is working in their hearts and they are responding. God's always working in our hearts. It's just whether or not we're responding, right? So anyway, huge, huge difference. Ladies' Bible studies happens now, and that's been a wonderful time. And Esther is able to go to those, and she just speaks in the trade language. And then one of the ladies there who happens to know the trade language really well, she then translates it into the Dinanga language. But the two other ladies you can see there, April and Ellie by Esther there, they do know the language, so they were able to teach the language too. So they would just take turns and minister with those ladies, and that was really good. Okay, next, literacy. I've already kind of talked about that, so we don't need to go into that, but what's cool about it is that that's the library in that box. I know it's small, but we're quite proud of it. Praise and prayer was about what I just mentioned, the recent baptism. We're more and more handing over the ministry into their hands. In fact, what we did in January was we actually, as a team, all moved out of the tribe and went into town and doing to help with other type of support ministries and do itinerant ministry with Dinangit. But this was one of the reasons we did that was to give that more over into their hands, and because when we're there, they're always still kind of looking to us. So once we left, that gives them the opportunity to really take it completely into their hands, and that's what you see there. You know, there's none of us are doing the baptisms anymore. That's really exciting. Another praise was the hermeneutics. That means studying the Bible, how to study the Bible. We did a seminar on how to do that. Did basically observation, interpretation, application, and that was really fun. They really, really got excited about that. I mean, thinking, I can actually study the Bible on my own? I can actually study God's Word on my own? Yes, you can. So anyway, it was exciting. Okay, so prayer points I have there. Open door to Makwa. Makwa is the name of the main village. It's the big village of the language group. And the reason we didn't go there first was because that's not where the airstrip is. So, and we didn't anticipate what would the outcome. Makwa has shut the doors to us big time. And most of the people want the teaching, but the main leaders do not. And so they are very antagonistic towards us. In fact, even brought in other pastors from other areas and even higher-ups from that denomination, and they came to threaten us, and they said they were going to burn our houses down to make us leave. And this is very cultural as well. This is what they do. They, to help people get motivated to do what they want them to do, they burn their house down. Quite nice, huh? So Makwa, that's where Makwa's at right now. They do not, the leaders are not letting us in. So we would love that. We'd love to see that door open up. It'd be very, very exciting. Appointment of elders is very, very close, but just not quite there yet. A couple of the men who are Bible teachers, we think need a little bit more time to grow, a little bit more maturity. So we're waiting on that one. But so you can pray for that one. Bible teachers taking over lessons writing. I want you to just try to think about this. Okay, before we got there. Barely holding a pencil, getting from that stage all the way over to writing their own Bible lessons. I mean, imagine yourself writing a Bible lesson and coming up here and teaching it. Wow. Now think of a tribal guy to be able to do that as well. So how do we get to that point? Long, huge story. But the good news is, it's happening. We've gotten there. There's two men who are able to do it now on a computer, with a printer, printing out their own lessons on both sides of the paper. I mean, it took a long, long time, but we did it with them. But the main thing that they have with them through it all is that this is God doing it through me. This is God doing it through me. I can't do this, but God can do it through me. And that's been the main anchor in their lives to help them do this. Our future plans, we would love to, after our home assignment this year, we'd love to go back into the tribe, finish things up as much as possible, appoint elders, make sure that the church is in a good place. That'll probably be another year or so of time, and that's going to be a very hard year, a hard time for us personally as a family, because Karis is going to stay here for school. But that's good. That's life, and she's going to New Tribes Bible Institute up in Jackson, Michigan, or Waukesha, Wisconsin. There's two of them. So she's still deciding on which one, but still, New Tribes Bible Institute. And then Caleb, he wants to stay in Papua New Guinea. It's pretty big missionary presence there, so there's a decent school, Christian Academy that's there, that's even accredited and everything. So he's going to go to that and stay in a dorm. It's run by New Tribes as well, so he'll stay there in a dorm, and so it'll just be Nathan and Zach and Esther and I, and then the Schlegels, they're leaving their older kids also at the dorm, and so it'll just be their youngest one, Miriam. So it'll just be us. So it's going to be a little different. The adjustments are going to be pretty big, but that's okay. That's where God has things now, so that's the future. Then after that, we would like to finish up the New Testament. That's probably a projected 4 or 5 years we have left. Finish out the New Testament and then completely hand that over to them. So gone from complete utter darkness to having the scriptures in their own language, glorifying God in their lives. And there's nothing else I would rather give my life for. I mean, just incredible. Hard, yes. Lots of struggles, yes. Many times wanting to throw in the towel, absolutely. Many times feeling like I just can't do this. When I'm weak, he is strong. Therefore, I'll boast about my weaknesses. And that's why I get up here and do that. Because I used to wonder, back when I was a new believer, what is this walk by faith? What is this walk in the Spirit? How do I walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh? It is letting God live his life through you. It's not me trying to be a good Christian. It's letting him live his life of righteousness and holiness through you. And that is what has been the biggest struggle for the Dodonga Church. What? How in the world can I be righteous before God? Okay, Jesus died for me. He said it's finished. I understand that. But I'm just so dirty. How can it be that I am holy? I'm holy. This is what the Word of God says. Separate. I am His. I am clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So, wow. I am new. So they say the words, but then they just really shake their heads and think, how can that be? So they struggled with that, the who they are in Christ, their position in Christ. So, yeah, that's all that. So we have a little video. It's about 10 minutes long that we'd like to show you, too. Now, this video, a little disclaimer, I didn't make it thinking of, we made it as a team. We didn't make it thinking of an American, you know, furlough audience, okay? So what we made it for was when every year all of us missionaries get together and we have a conference. So it's like, you know, 100 or so missionaries that get together and all of our kids, and we have a conference. They ask us to do tribal reports. Every tribe does a report on what's going on. That's why we did this video. So if there's things that are little, you might not understand because we're speaking to people who have a different basis of knowledge, please just afterwards feel free to ask. So we'll do that question and answer time then. What we did do, we included our kids in this one. So this one is, it's all kid voices. It's all kids doing narration. It's all of our, sorry I'm saying kids, but our, you know what I mean, our children. anyway, so, and we included the whole team. So enjoy. Hopefully it'll fit on there and work good. So, go ahead.
You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. 2 Timothy 2:2. This is the heart of discipleship, passing on the truth found in God's Word contained in a life. All believers have been entrusted with this ministry, and we'd like to share with you how God is doing this work here in the context of Dodonga, Papua New Guinea. We three families, the Markleys, Schlegels, and Smiths, have been here for almost 10 years, and we've seen that discipleship starts first and foremost in the home. We have a lot of missionary kids here, 10 kids altogether. We do school at home with our moms, and they're doing an excellent job of fulfilling that verse in 2 Timothy. We do PE together, as well as all kinds of outside games. Our dads help us out in homeschooling, as well as teach us things about the Bible. Besides working with us kids, our moms are involved in many different areas of discipleship with the ladies here in Dodonga. There are many things they do with the ladies, but one thing is that they help with the checking of the translation, which is a very important part of the whole process.
Thinking of that verse in 2 Timothy, our dads work hard at translation, Bible lessons, teaching, and discipleship with the Dodonga believers. Here's my dad, Ralph, in his office with one of his translation helpers as they work on the book of 1 Timothy. Uncle Jeremiah also does translation and is currently working on the book of Mark. They both really enjoy being able to translate God's word into the Dodonga language for the believers. Uncle Gary writes the Bible curriculum and helps out in teaching on Sunday mornings.
One of the neatest things of living in Dodonga is seeing this verse fulfilled in the lives of the people here. We've asked a few people to share their testimonies of how discipleship is working in their lives. First is Papa Felix. He loves being part of God's work, and he loves teaching and learning God's word. He will tell us how he has been discipled and how he and the Bible teachers from our village have discipled those in another village who became Christians in 2010.
Ko no ginao Felix Hi, my name is Felix. I would like to talk about doing God's work. A long time ago, I didn't understand what the Bible said. Then the missionaries came and stayed with us. They taught us the Bible, and it was at that time that we understood it. Now, myself and some others work together doing God's work by teaching others and helping the missionaries translate the Bible. Now, instead of the way we used to live, we live according to the Bible, according to this Bible here. The Bible translation isn't complete yet, but the missionaries put together the portions of the Bible that have been completed and have given them to us. Even though it isn't the full New Testament, it is God's Word, and it is in our own language. We read it, and we are so very happy to have it. We turn the pages, and we read it. It tells us what is truth, and it is this alone that we follow. Those of us here in this village listened to what the missionaries taught us. Then myself and some other Bible teachers took God's message to another village, and we taught them the Bible, and today they understand. They have received it with joy. One of the works we Bible teachers have begun doing with the missionaries is to meet every Monday to discuss things like, what can we do so that we can teach others so that they will believe? We also discuss how each Sunday church service went, and we ask, did we do it according to the Bible or not? We meet like this so that most importantly, people will believe in the wonderful story of Jesus. These meetings are also in preparation for what we will do when the missionaries go back to their homes. We know that they will leave someday, so now while they're still here, we are learning how to lead this work. So now this great work that they brought, they have given to us, and now we have it and teach others. We are the ones to teach our village literacy and the Bible. And God's talk that is in this book, we teach them and they hear it. This is the work we are doing for them so that they will learn.
The next story is from Paul. Paul is a Bible teacher from the other village over the mountain. He is going to tell us how he became a Bible teacher and what it means to him. Here is Paul.
Hi, my name is Paul. When the missionaries and the Bible teachers from the first village came to our village to teach us the Bible, I didn't understand it at all. At the time, I was the acting peace officer for the community. I did that work, but I did not know truth. When the missionaries and the Bible teachers from the first village taught the Bible, I thought a lot about it, and I realized that I really was on the road to the everlasting fire. I'm a sinner, but God says in His Word that whoever believes in Jesus can come to me. So I understood and I believed, and God said, "You recognize your need, so I want you to be another one of my instruments who does my work." So I became one of the Bible teachers. Here in Dinangat, we call the Bible teachers God's digging sticks, or His instruments, because we are used of Him and we speak His Word. Since starting this work, I have clearly seen His power. Back when we were in Satan's clan, the people living in my village used to perform sorcery. Then after we believed, some people thought they could do both works together, both God's work and Satan's. But God wants us to do only His work. All of us who are God's digging sticks left that evil work. However, one from among us thought, "I am new, and I know that when I die, I will go to God. So I can still do these things from my old lifestyle, plus do God's work." But once we saw what he was doing, we told him he wouldn't be able to be a Bible teacher until we saw that he made a change in his life. Since then, he did give up all his fetishes that he used for doing sorcery. And in front of the church, he burned them all and told us that what he did was wrong and that he was sorry. God is changing that man. We see that, and we all know that God truly is all-powerful. I know that God is true. I see that doing His work brings fruit. Jesus truly is our Savior. And many of us from my village, including myself, know that one day we will truly go to God. Thank you.
The last story is from Jinonke. In the beginning, he was against us and was even telling people not to listen to some of our teaching. But then God radically changed his heart. His story is really good. Here's Jinonke.
God has really changed my life. Recently, I was baptized, which for me was a big deal. Because growing up, what we all believed was that when we were baptized, went to communion, faithfully came to church, that we would truly go to God. That's what we all believed. And that's the reason that I first challenged what the missionaries and the Bible teachers taught. But I continued to listen to the missionaries teach God's word in our own language. And as I continued to study the Bible, I realized that Jesus said to be baptized after we believe. So before Jesus, from the depth of my heart, I believed that it was true. So I went and I told the Bible teachers that I wanted to clearly show my faith publicly through baptism. And shortly after that, they put me in the water and baptized me, and I'm very happy about it. So today I tell my friends that now I see the correct way. But my friends are just like I was in the past. Their heads are hard and impossible to change, just like my head was hard and impossible to change, which is why I used to challenge what was taught. But the impossible happened. God's Spirit turned me around, so now I keep giving all the glory to God. He truly is above all.